90 seconds, for me personally, of pretty much the most horrific TV I've ever seen. It was something that happened to me getting on for 20 years after I left the care system. This podcast is called Welcome Homes, the most horrifying 90 seconds of my life so far. Don't worry, it's only clickbait, but for me personally, it's not. Welcome back to another Action Factor podcast. My name is Michael Dawson. I'm the creator of the Solutions Toolkit. It's a framework for residential youth workers. These podcasts get kind of selfish for me in a way because they do help me to clarify my own personal thinking. I also want them to be kind of useful to you. And being useful to you, etc., doesn't arrive every other Monday morning. And I've realized that. So I'm going to sacrifice from now on quantity and regularity in return for quality, so that I always feel that these podcasts happen when the muse arrives. Having said that, you might be new here. So if you are, you will find lots of free stuff by checking out the podcast and the website. There is a 10-part NLP in youth work course that I did quite recently. By filtering through previous episodes, you will find what you want. So there we go. It's going to be comfortably irregular from now on. And just like today, I want to offer you something really, really useful. So with that said, let's push on. First, some very quick news. You may have noticed I've made some changes to the website. I've now produced the Keywork Compass. It's an interactive PDF that you can keep on your device. I designed it to keep all your key worker child information at your fingertips, medical, doctor's phone numbers, education, even information for missing persons, which happens occasionally. And you can very quickly send bits of this information to other professionals and you can keep it securely on your device. What I love about this is it's a kind of no sign up, no email or any of that. You'll find a link to it down below and you can go and download it. And I hope you find it really, really useful. But that being said, I'd be silly not to offer you an option that I've now started to roll out. And it depends when you hear this. I might have finished doing it because podcasts can be around for a long time. Everything that's individual on my training course, I am now doing for one single monthly subscription of under $20 for 2 years, as opposed to $20 a month, which I think is pretty cool. Think of it a bit like Crazy Mike. You ever see those adverts? Crazy Mike sale. It's Crazy Mike sale. He must have lost his mind. But in reality, it's called a legacy plan. I want to spread the word. I want more and more people to know what we are doing together. And so a quick one-off payment of $20 or under $20 puts you in prime position forever in my eyes because you'd be one of the early adopters. So on with the show. Now, I call today's episode Welcome Homes, the most terrifying 90 seconds of my life. You may be listening to this on the podcast. If you are and you want to see the visual version, then go to YouTube. Again, click below. And I will show you what I'm talking about. But I want to talk today about care home admissions, especially the very first care home admission. Not the paperwork, the standards, or the fire escapes, but the actual experience. If you work in a children's home, you'll find this episode really interesting. And as you're about to find out, this is a personal issue for me. And that in itself might disqualify me from giving any advice. Not that I would ever give you advice, but you can judge me on that. Those of you who know me will have heard me mention the fact that I was in care. Now, I mention it openly, but I never really ever go deeper than that. And I mention it openly, probably because my first girlfriend, her dad, immediately he found out that I was a care kid. He insisted we split up. Just as a side note, we later got married. We got married and later divorced. So maybe a dad was right. But anyway, that's just a side issue. But as I say, no real detail. That is until a few weeks ago. I did an interview on a podcast called The Passionate Youth Worker. which is produced by an organisation called YIPA. And link, as usual, down below. Check them out. They are the Youth Intervention Programme, and they provide comprehensive range of training courses for youth workers. Brilliant, brilliant organisation. Now, the podcast is a really clever format. They talk to youth workers about how their own upbringing influences their work. Now, I'm not one to jump out of planes with a bed sheet or jump off bridges tied to an elastic band. I'm more a guy that's more into the mental risk. I'm more for the mental challenges. This podcast was one of them because it was about me personally and my young life. This was scary. I doubted, if I'm honest, that I would ever watch it. As it happens, I did watch it. Paul, who did the interview, was great and well prepared. And at the same time, I think he was quite a disarming interviewer. So disarming, in fact, that I mentioned something I don't think I'd spoken about to anyone. It was something that happened to me getting on for 20 years after I left the care system. Probably to put it in perspective, let me show you the little clip. Now, I can link to the full interview if you're interested, but I want to show you this little clip. This came out of me during this chat. So, see what you think of this. And I can share one thing with you. I was watching a programme 20 or 30 years later about a young girl going into care. And there was a scene in this programme. And I watched this scene literally through my own eyes. I was a fully grown adult and I absolutely fell to pieces in tears, bawling like a child. And then within 20 seconds, I started laughing. And I was laughing at me for crying. Can't believe I've revealed that. But that actually happened. It was so ridiculous. It's like having remote emotions. It was so strange, you know. So I don't know the answer to that. I'm not a psychologist, but the reaction was instant. I didn't see it coming. It was freaky, but not happened enough. But there we go.
Sounds like you just went into survival mode. Figured out what you needed to do.
Yes. There you go. So I watched that interview back and it got me thinking about that show. And I did some research and I found the show that I was talking about. And I also found the actual scene. It was a TV drama that starred Brooke Kinsella as a young girl who was sexually abused growing up. Now, you may later have known her in EastEnders and various other things. I never really watched EastEnders, so I didn't really recognise her, but she was only young when she did this show. The full TV drama is available on YouTube and it's called No Child of Mine. And I'll put all the credits, etc. down below. Now, what's funny about the show is that the abuse that they talk about is actually true and it happened to a single individual. So as a writer myself, I know that we can sometimes put characters together from different people and amalgamate all of these events into a cohesive story. This wasn't. This was a real person. It was a perfect storm of abuse. It was pretty horrific. And like so many people before her, as a young woman, the actual person grew up to have good, successful life, like so many of our young people do. So I'm going to show you this clip. It's interesting that regardless of all the abuse in this program, this clip is the clip that had a grown man bawling like a child. It's actually around 90 seconds long. It's the scene where she's admitted to a children's unit for the first time. This scene, for me, was so well done, you might have well have put a camera on my shoulder. I want to show you this clip. I want to see if you, as a social worker or a residential worker, is this familiar? Is this familiar to you? I kind of, in 2023, hope it isn't, because this is still difficult for me to watch. First of all, 90 seconds. Here we go. 90 seconds, for me, personally, of pretty much the most horrific TV I've ever seen.
This room is your space and it's private to you. That is dead important. But rules, they get broken, things get nicked. So just be very careful what you leave in here. All right? Now then, drugs, alcohol, smoking is banned. You'll see other kids smoking outside and we can't stop it. But there is absolutely no smoking in the house. Understood?
Okay, there you go. So to most of you, please excuse my personal narrative, but I still think there's lessons there for us all. And I want to break this down, if I may, because I know that there's some people may never have even been in a children's home, even though they are, you know, excellent youth workers, etc. Let's just have a quick look back at this scene. So firstly, I just want to say, and this is why it probably resonated with me, my social worker at the time drove a Mini Cooper. Now, if you remember the original Mini Cooper, not the one, the BMW version we've got now, the Italian job version, and not the Italian job we've got now, the original Italian job, the Mini Cooper, all it had was like a big Speedo in the middle. That was it. It didn't have a dashboard. And in the middle was a little green dot. Very similar to what you're going to see in this film. I remember staring blank at this flashing indicator. It was like it hypnotized me. I was in a trance. The other little bit of detail before we watch it again is that there's only one thing that producers got wrong in my book, and that's what I call the city council luggage. It's actually a black bin bag that contains all of your possessions, everything you own, stuff in a rubbish bag. That is how it worked down there. Let's have a look at the film. The show was filmed down south somewhere, but looking at this, it might as well be Didsbury in Manchester, because the environment is exactly the place that I arrived at. If you look at the building even, and you took away the obvious sign here, there's a sign that they've obviously just put over the top. We now go into this building and you enter pandemonium all around. There's no one expecting this young person. She's totally exposed to everyone. You have to do this short, terrifying walk. There's nowhere to hide. In fact, there's even a fraction of a second, if I can find and freeze it there, where you see the dining room. When I saw that half a second clip, I could almost smell that kind of school dinner smell in this building. If we carry on, you'll see that what we do next is we track down a member of staff. He's in a mid-argument with a resident. Now, looking at this through adult's eyes, you can see that he quickly acknowledges the young girl and then he goes off to find someone else to deal with her, as if she's kind of an inconvenience. And as he does so, he continues trading insults with one of the young boys. As an adult, I'm seeing this girl, this young girl, and I'm thinking, if I'm that young girl, I'm thinking, that boy there being insulted by a member of staff is me next week. The young boy shouting at the staff and giving them abuse is me next week. That's all subliminal, but then we find a manager, and the manager clearly takes the young girl up to a room. Now, this looks very sterile, and I've seen tons of stuff on social media now where staff have produced, you know, beautiful rooms to welcome kids. And like I said, this little film is either, it either serves as a reminder of how far we've come or of how far we need to go. As an adult, I can see this well-meaning member of staff explaining some of the reasons that this girl should actually be afraid. The things that could happen. Things get stolen. Rules get broken. Be careful what you leave in your room. And finally, she also explains, in my view, if you want to take drugs or smoke, you can do that as long as it's outside of here, because we can't stop you doing that.
This room is your space and it's private to you. That is dead important. But rules that get broken, things get nicked. So just be very careful what you leave in here. All right? Now then, drugs, alcohol, smoking is banned. You'll see other kids smoking outside and we can't stop it. But there is absolutely no smoking in the house. Understood?
There we go. That is the most horrific 90 seconds of TV drama ever produced. It turned a fully grown adult like me into a gibbering wreck. And we're talking about a long, long time after I left care. We're talking about someone who went off and got off with his life and someone who had no kind of mental health issues or any of that. It just went boom, out of me. So what do we take from that? I read a business book some time ago that said, if you come into a meeting with a problem, bring at least three possible answers to the problem. I think that's a wonderful piece of advice. I hope that I've come to this podcast today with at least one answer. Because having been a worker in a residential unit, having spent time in the unit, I spent time as a member of staff in the unit I went to as a child on the occasion I'm describing to you right now. But I also know that things can get pretty busy and we spend a lot of time fighting fires. I humbly offer what I call an admissions audit sheet. It's a kind of set of questions that one of the staff or a manager can take a breath, step back and look at this whole process through the eyes of the young person who has turned up to live with us. Now, everything I say from this point on is with the utmost respect for what you guys do and the pressure you're under. But I've seldom find staff who don't want to consider just a sliver of improvement. So, as usual, the audit sheet itself is around here somewhere. It's a click and grab type thing. There's no email or any of that kind of thing. So I'll make that available to you. Again, it's interactive. You can type into it, keep it, send it to your manager. Let's look at this very, very briefly. The first questions, they rotate around the pre-arrival process. You know, is there a welcome pack for a young person? Do they have access to anything, electronic or paper, before they arrive? Is there a residence page on the website, either done by the young people or, you know, because kids understand that, they understand social media and those kinds of things. One thing I think's important is, are there any suggestions or standards or policies for the caregiver, i.e. the social worker? I think this is so important. Hey, you know you don't always have time to do this, but please don't turn up with a child unexpected with a bin bag or at some random time of the day. We'd like most of the young people to be out of the building. We'd like the young person to have some form of luggage and maybe you want to collect it from us before you bring the young person. Also, we're thinking about sort of perhaps at some point, maybe I've put this in before arrival, but even after arrival, what about actually using one of the existing young people to kind of come along on that initial tour? Imagine that. Imagine a young people taking responsibility for the new person. So, so powerful. What about taking a walk? When you go in work tomorrow, it's your place of work. But what about taking a walk as if it's the first time? What about seeing those lads you see sat on the step outside having a fag or whatever? Completely harmless, just having fun. That's all. But is it intimidating to a new young person? Is there a way that young people can enter the building in some form of privacy? Are there any obvious repairs that we're doing that make the place look a little bit scary? Using one of the existing residents as a mentor, I think is awesome. Another one is that initial greeting. If you look at that piece of film, is the young person expected? Are they welcomed by name? Friendly? Does the person know anything about the unit? Do they get adequate physical and mental privacy? What about, I'm going to push on now, but is the young person quickly shown around? If so, by whom? Are they aware of local surroundings? Apart from obvious safety and emergency exits, you know, rules, meal times, da da da. I know most of this is covered. But what I wanted to cover with this was more about their actual experience of arriving into this really frightening environment. I know it was for me. So please take what I say with the fact that I've got this personal attachment to this. And at the end of it, there is a task list, which, where, you know, it might be just a few things we could really do to make things better. And it's also a little bit of a what, who, when type of thing. I want to thank you for the opportunity to produce this podcast, and I appreciate you very, very much. Please let me know your thoughts, comments, and maybe how I could do better even. You'll always find me at theactionfactory.com. I'm Michael Dawson, and I produce the Solution Toolkit to be a universal framework for youth workers. All the links are around here. As usual, thank you for being there. I'm going to leave you now with one more little look at the most horrific 90 seconds of TV drama ever produced. Bye for now.